Rule of Threes Podcast. The Rule of Threes Podcast. It's the Rule of Threes Podcast with Chris and Casey.
Oh yeah, it's the Rule of Threes Podcast. I'm Chris Grace.
I'm Casey Lawrence.
It's Monday, December 10th, 2018. Casey, I keep blowing out this mic at the top of the podcast.
Ooh. You know what I keep blowing out? Candles, baby, because I turned 32 yesterday.
Yeah. Happy birthday to Casey Lawrence. Woo. 32. Magic Johnson year.
That's right. I'm ready to assist everybody. I helped a friend get onto my cell phone plan today.
Oh.
Saved her a bunch of money from what she was paying before.
You know what? I could have recently done that, and I failed to do that.
Oh.
Instead, what I did is I just switched to T-Mobile.
Yeah.
Is that what you're on?
T-Mobile guy. I got T-Mobile.
Well, they had a thing where I could just add a third line.
Yeah.
For free.
Yep.
I just had to pay like an activation fee.
Yep.
So now I just have a third line, and I just attached an Android phone to it.
Yep. Yeah.
So I now have like a business line.
Basically. It's your secret business line. We're going to give out that number so you can call us.
Perfect.
At the Rule of Threes Podcast.
Does that line get its own data?
Gets its own data. I mean, all the data is unlimited. So.
Well, but like T-Mobile will throttle you after 50 gigs, yeah. Apparently, which I've never will come close
never,
to.
Never, ever. And they'll, there's weird net neutrality stuff that they don't follow. So like some streaming is free. You get Netflix for free.
Oh,
sorts of stuff. But
yeah, that's fine.
Yeah.
I mean, I definitely am pro net neutrality.
Yeah.
But then it's weird when you are presented with anti-net neutrality things as consumer products.
Yeah.
Where it's like, you can get HBO Go.
For free.
Yeah.
And it won't count against your monthly data
cap. It won't
count
against you. And like, we'll make sure we stream high res
HBO Go to you.
Then you're kind of like, oh, I guess Ajit Pai has a point.
I mean, all of this stuff that's just like, well, if they were just incentivized to do good instead of like, well, we've got a 50-month cap and 50-gig cap on your month. And, you know, like, I've never hit 50 gigs. I think the highest I've ever hit in a month is, like, 10 gigs because I'm mostly on Wi-Fi. I don't leave my house, you know?
So we switched from Verizon to T-Mobile.
Congrats.
This past month because 2 months in a row we had hit our 8-gig cap.
Oh, yeah.
Because Eric and I share 8 gigs. Shared 8.
That was no go.
Well,
a hard no go.
For many months, it's okay. But if there's a month where we're both working, like, and for us working it, like, we're in show business.
Yeah.
So
we're in show business.
What I mean is, like, our jobs are stupid.
Yeah, and you get to be on your phones all the time.
Well, and like, a lot of your job is sitting waiting around trying to occupy yourself with a phone. It's not really work, but you're using data for like 9 hours at a time.
You mean they don't have set Wi-Fi?
There's no Wi-Fi on set at some place at Universal Studios lot. They have set Wi-Fi.
That's great.
But I've only recently become enough of an entity to be given the Wi-Fi password.
Ooh. You got to be an entity to get the password.
Put it this way, like, I've been working on one project, you know, off and on for a couple of years now, and I was only recently included in the holiday party.
Oh. That's very funny.
You know, like everybody gets a mug at the end of the season.
Yeah.
And I got a mug only because they had extras last year.
Okay. All right. Got
And the person handing them out was trying to get rid of them.
Yeah. The guy, you get a mug.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was like Oprah if she only gave out one card to a person that she was just trying to get rid of.
She's
cards.
Like, you in the front row, I have this. Take this car.
You get this Volkswagen Beetle.
Only you.
So, Casey, just an update on Western Conf Watch.
Yeah.
The situation is just as muddled as it has been.
It's exactly the same as it's always been. Nothing will ever change week to week.
Of course, a team that we had worries about is now the number one team in the Western Conference.
Of course.
The Oklahoma City Thunder.
They're so good.
They're number one. The Houston Rockets are the second worst team in the conference.
The 14th seed, in your brain, but the 15th seed in your heart.
But to be fair, they are only 6 losses behind the Thunder.
Which is, I mean,
so that's like not, I mean, yes, you should definitely be worried if you're some of these teams.
Yeah.
The only team you can just check out on and we're going for the lottery is the Suns.
Yes.
Any other team, though, all they have to do is put together a decent run for like 20 games and they're back in the mix.
Back in the mix. The Suns are the only team in the Western Conference that's a seller. like they're in the seller, but they're also in the trade market. Yes. Sellers. They're ready to strip their team of any asset that is not going to be worthy of right. partaking.
So
in
they rebuild. Signed Trevor Ariza to 1 year, $15 million contract.
That's correct.
And so now he's on the market again.
He is on the market.
And apparently might come to the Lakers.
The Lakers are interested. And here is the problem.
That they should not be interested in Trevor Ariza.
They shouldn't give up anything of value for him. So yeah. for, in my mind, the proposed deal of sending out KCP, getting back Trevor Ariza.
Good.
Right? That is fine. It doesn't yes. matter to me. KCP is just fine. Trevor Ariza is just fine. Maybe is a better fit. But like, truly, I don't mind
anybody else. But like none of the young core you want to ship out.
No. And I think that's, I don't want to lose any of our players who we've picked at the later end of the draft. I don't want to send out Svi. I don't want to send out Wagner. I don't want to send out any picks. And the last report that I read before coming to record this podcast was the proposed framework. And, here we are putting in our disclaimer of this is just something that I read on the internet. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't from one of those fake Woj reports either. this was on the website. KCP and a first-round pick would be leaving LA.
Well, this is what I don't get about that. KCP is on a 1 year, $12 million contract.
Yeah.
If they do that, then they get to take $15 million off the books because Ariza's salary is $15
million. So I only said the LA side of this.
The
proposal was that he would go to Philadelphia.
KCP this is a three-way trade. Yeah.
And then Markel Fultz and somebody else would go to Phoenix.
Oh. So who did the Lakers get?
Trevor Ariza.
They do get Ariza.
Yes.
Right. But in other words, at the end of the year, they have Ariza on a 1 year 15.
Yes.
That comes off the books.
Correct.
So they get $3 million more of space. And what year is that pick from?
So we get no more space. We're just using $3 million more of our cap this year. Next year, that doesn't change any of the space that we have or don't have.
Oh, because KCP was coming off anyway.
Correct.
Yes. Oh, so really... It doesn't give us more cap flexibility.
No, there's no cap stuff here at all. There's no cap flexibility okay. included
That's
in that.
Interesting, because I actually read like two different articles today talking about they might do this for cap flexibility.
No, that's not at all. Wherever you read that from, just don't ever read the article from that again.
Well, I might have misread those. So like, no, in the sense that if we were giving away somebody on a multi-year contract. That was on the books for next year. Then yes. it would be a cap.
Yes, it would. Issue.
But KCP is not one of those people.
That is correct.
Yeah. And is the would the draft pick be one of those things if it's for next year's draft?
So if it's next year's draft pick, then yes, that would help with the cap space next year. Yes,
but we don't necessarily want to give away a draft pick.
Correct. And that cap space is 1 to 2 million right. at most.
It's not a lot. Like the same way, like if we threw Mo Wagner in a trade, like it's going to save us $2 million.
$2 million of cap.
And we need that pick so that we can get Mac McClung.
I mean, Georgetown's finest.
Yeah.
I mean, if you guys have not yet heard or, if you guys have not yet listened to us praise the white savior of Georgetown, Mac McClung, 5'10" point guard, just scrappy as all hell, can dunk the ball because his name is Mac McClung because he hung on the rim.
Exactly.
You gotta check out these highlights from Mac McClung.
Well, and then, if it's a later draft pick, we don't want to give up because we have the next white savior coming. If you watch Ball is Life,
Ooh.
Nico Mannion.
Do
you know this kid?
Not a single fucking idea.
Another arrogant white high school player.
Great.
Basically, like...
Congrats, man.
Like, every year, there's a Bobby Hurley in the mix.
Yeah.
That, like, everybody thinks is, like, a real scrappy... There's always a Jimmer.
Listen here. Our position on the Rule of Threes podcast is not that white people are bad at basketball. That's not our position.
It's just that they're bad in general.
It's just that they're bad in general. Like, and that includes basketball.
Yes.
That's our position here.
There's a big circle... in this Venn diagram that is everything white people do and basketball is not unlike the lines on a basketball.
Yeah. I mean, did I make a mean grilled cheese sandwich where I put mayonnaise on the outside of the bread?
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I'm white, so it's terrible.
Well, also you exploited people to get that white bread for such a cheap price.
I was using wheat bread. Okay. So
you put mayonnaise, you used wheat bread in a grill.
Yeah.
You just answered your own question.
What?
Wheat bread in a grilled cheese.
Yeah. Yeah, it's great. It adds a little crunch.
Oh, Lord.
Right? You get the crunch of the nuts on the outside of your wheat bread.
So, no, I love white players. I fucking love Luka Doncic.
Ooh, Luka. God, he has been on a tear recently.
He's been great.
Dallas is good, you know, or is playing good.
I mean, anytime a rookie leads a comeback against a team I hate, the Houston Rockets.
I mean, how weird is it that Houston is the worst team in Texas?
And to do it with a nasty step back three-point shot.
That step back three.
On Capella. And also a really long step back,
yeah.
I will say.
I mean, Luka is long, but you don't think about it because he's a little slower movement-wise than you'd expect him to be. But that doesn't mean that he's not skilled and he doesn't know what he's doing, because he did.
He's so skilled. I don't know why this comp never occurred to me, but somebody mentioned that he's like a Larry Bird for our day and age. And he pretty much is.
Wow.
He's like, because Larry Bird, one of the, I think, befuddling things about Larry Bird was that he was also just tall and big. So like, Luka doesn't need that much space to be able to shoot over you, because he's like taller than he, in your mind right now, if you picture Luka, He's 6 inches taller than that.
Okay. I mean,
you pictured him at 8'7".
No, I pictured him at 6'8" because I feel like I remember him being listed at 6'8".
But you know what I mean? Like, he has the, in my mind, he's kind of like,
he's listed at 6'8", but he's,
I'm not saying he's a JJ Barea, but he's like,
oh, when you look at his face, maybe he doesn't look
maybe
tall.
His face. Maybe you think about his age. When you think about the kind of skill set he has.
Yeah. And Doncic is, I believe it's Slovenian for short person.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Luka is very, very,
very short person. If we're just going to go by the literal translation.
If you packaged his whole skill set and told someone what he could do, I think a lot of people would be like, oh, he's like a 6'1 guard or something.
Yeah.
And so the fact that he is 6'8 and then can step back from like the top of the circle behind the 3-point line and put, and not do it particularly fast.
No, just like it was length more than speed, because it all happened. You're like, oh yeah, oh wow, he's getting back there.
Yeah,
he was like a little inside the line before he made that step back, and it was like,
oh, before he made the step back, he's significantly inside the line.
Yeah, it was great.
And so to do that against Harden is, you know, Harden's team was very satisfying.
Italian chef's kisses coming out of my microphone.
So Luka, I would say right now is front runner for rookie of the year.
I completely agree with you. I feel like there have been other good rookies, people that have played well.
Yeah.
But you know, DeAndre Ayton's kind of come down with some weird mystery injury.
How's Marvin Bagley doing?
Marvin Bagley is not doing that great, but Jaren Jackson from Memphis is doing fantastically. I feel like there's, you know, and of course, you can't forget Trae Young in Atlanta, not shooting well, but playing, you know, well for what kind of was expected of him right away.
How much do you think Igor Koskoskov wishes that they had taken Luka Doncic?
A lot, because he's exactly what that team needs. They don't need DeAndre Ayton.
And also, he's a European coach.
Yeah.
So he is probably like, guys, the EuroLeague is like a serious thing.
It's big.
To be the MVP of the EuroLeague is like not like JV.
It's not like Alexei Shved was the MVP of the EuroLeague. Like,
yeah,
you know, we're talking real basketball here.
And I often think there's probably an advantage in just drafting somebody who has already been a professional.
Yeah.
Who has already been like, has had to pack for hotel rooms and like, not that college kids don't have to. But
I mean, that's exactly why I'm saying that in 2020, the Lakers should be drafting LaMelo Ball, right? He's been a professional.
He has been to Lithuania.
He's been to Lithuania. He took in the size.
High school schools will not play him.
He was the MVP of the Big Baller Brand Challenge, which was the tournament they set up with fake teams to make him look good. So that's an MVP of something.
Yeah. I have a list of topics that you want to talk about, Casey.
Yeah,
I'm going to jump around a little bit.
Great.
Injury watch.
Ooh. Can we talk about the Denver Nuggets and how beat up they are?
How beat up are they?
Okay.
And is Jamal Murray the most beat up of them?
No.
Unfortunately not.
But he is beat up. Gary Harris is out for a couple of weeks with a hip injury. He's had hip injuries throughout his entire career. So it's like, you know, you don't want him to like fall victim to this.
Yes.
Paul Millsap broke his toe.
Uh huh.
So he's out 4 to 6 weeks with a broken big toe. We got Will Barton is out.
Jeez.
Yeah. And then also Jamal Murray is out.
Jokic.
Jokic is healthy.
Up to the 12th best.
Up to the 12th
I best. Checked yesterday. Yeah, 12th exactly. best DRPM in the league.
I mean, he's great. We talked about how good DRPM is. It's fantastic. I listened to the last podcast. We were just glowing about the goodness of defensive
metrics. And just how great defensive metrics are in general.
Oh, so good. Yeah, so their starting healthy lineup is, and I mean, Isaiah Thomas is still out. He hasn't played yet this year.
But I mean, but then what you do is you go look at the market and you get someone to fix your roster.
The type of person who you want to bring into a real mile high situation.
Yeah, and also someone who's like an all around player.
Yeah. He can do it all on the court. Okay.
Offense,
he can
defense,
swag on you.
Special
he can miss
teams.
Shots from 3-point land. He can miss shots from 2-point land.
He can punt.
He's a guy who will dunk, but then smile and miss the dunk. He's a guy.
Well, he'll shoot a 3-pointer, turn around, and celebrate it.
Exactly.
Before it goes in.
You're talking about the king of swag. You know, you're talking about the man who owns the valley. You're talking about the man who brought a championship back to the San Fernando Valley. Nicholas Swaggy P. Young.
That's right. Congratulations, Denver Nuggets.
I mean, all I want right now is a Nick Young Swaggy P. rainbow jersey.
Like, oh,
Because, like, I am a man who bought a Nick Young Lakers jersey that said Swaggy P. on the back. Like, I'm that guy.
Yeah.
And so I want a Denver Nuggets jersey with the rainbow city edition and just, like, have it say Swaggy P. on the back. Get that zero on there. Like, let's do this, baby. We're making moves.
Yeah. Okay, two things. First of all, jersey talk.
Yes.
After our podcast with Jeff Tate. I tried to get a Saric Timberwolves jersey.
They don't have them, do they?
They are sold out.
Ooh, because it's the only one anyone wants to buy.
Covington. Sold out.
Ah.
I can still get a Wiggins one.
Well, of course you can.
I can get a Okogie.
Okay, yeah, he's one of their first.
I might just do that just because it's random.
Yeah.
So, second thing is Nick Young going to the Nuggets. I think we all know how much I hate the Nuggets, mostly because of Jamal Murray.
Yes.
Mostly because he tried to punk Lonzo last year.
They are our number one, like, we hate these dudes rival for the Lakers right now.
And also, I feel, first of all, I know for a fact that Jamal Murray does not have the mental capacity to run a team from point guard in the last 3 minutes of a game.
Ooh.
Because I've seen him fuck up royally in games. I think I actually do enjoy Gary Harris.
Okay.
But I think he's overrated on the defensive side.
Okay.
But he's a very exciting offensive player.
Yeah.
However, Nick Young going to the Nuggets, I enjoy a Nick Young.
Yeah.
And it will almost make me want them to win the ring this year.
Wow.
Because I want Nick Young to be able to say, I'm the look at me. You want a ring, you ride the Nick Young train.
You ride the Nick Young train. And it really, you know, JaVale spent his time in Denver. Nick Young is going to spend his time in Denver. You know, the two of those men are intertwined in a way that I'm very, very happy about.
Well, like Nick Young got a ring last year with the Warriors.
Yep.
So if he gets one with the Nuggets this year, he's the only one to have a ring 2 years. Like, there's no other crossovers between those two teams. So... You know,
yeah, because Isaiah Thomas didn't win the ring with the Lakers last year, so
that's right.
Yeah,
I wonder how many people have won a ring 2 years in a row with two different teams.
It's happened.
I'm sure it's happened. I like it might have even happened with Ori. Like, did he go from Lakers to Spurs in a way that that would have happened? Or
no, he did not.
I mean, so Nick Young might be one of a very rare breed of NBA player.
Yeah. And maybe if he is, then we can have that be our new motto. You know, Nick Young wins championships. It's an uninspired motto. I was hoping
That's also a weird motto to have when it has a specific person's name.
Yeah, motto. Oh, yeah. I mean, I'll get it emblazoned over a crest.
I guess it's also the way, like, free agency and stuff works these days. The NBA is almost becoming like fantasy sports where, like...
Put those like, teams together.
Well, there are remixes of teams and players that are happening to where it's difficult for me to maintain my tribalism.
Yeah.
So, like, I'm very clearly... I'm softening on LeBron because he's a Laker this year, and Nick Young will make me soften on the Nuggets now that he's playing there. Like, yeah. And to be honest, like, I have been rooting for Isaiah Thomas to sort of have a comeback. So yeah. I kind of want him to have a good year there too.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, yeah, sounds good to me.
Sounds good to me. Next on your list, Bulls mutiny.
The Bulls. Yikes.
Well, according to my headlines, they're having player coach issues.
Yes, they are. Quick question.
Just,
how long has Jim Boylan been the coach of the Bulls?
I was going to say, didn't they just fire their coach?
They did. We just talked about it last week.
So they've had their coach for 6 days?
Yes. And there is already problems with the team, which is wild, right?
Is he an interim?
He is an interim coach, yes. Okay.
I guess, first of all, that's always kind of a problem.
Yes.
So what's going on with them?
Okay, so here's the deal. They are having problems because they lost by 56 points to the Celtics. They lost and got fucking destroyed.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so the day after that game, and he had already been working them hard in practices. He was like, we are not working hard enough. We're a lazy team and we need to go do more runs or whatever.
This is old school.
Old school Jim Boylan.
Get down and give me 20.
So they lose on the second night of a back-to-back, get killed. Then the next day he's like, we're coming in for practice. And the players are like, fuck this.
Uh-huh.
All right. We practiced before the games.
Right.
We practiced, we played these two games back to back, and we're coming in on a Sunday in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck you. Fuck them. We're mutinying. We need a players only meeting. And then Jim Boylan was like, no, I was just going to have you guys come in here and watch film and do something light, you know, to bring us together as a team after a bad night. And the players didn't believe him, and everything got intense. And so a lot of the media out of Chicago is very, very skeptical that he's going to be able to have any sort of positive impact on this team because of the miscues that have happened in the first week of his coaching tenure.
Mm-hmm. He has not been an NBA head coach before.
No, this is his first time.
Okay. Well, I mean, I'm looking up his record. He was a coach at Utah. I guess he was after like Rick Majerus probably.
Yeah.
At Utah. So I wonder if he's I don't know. Is he just a hard ass? I will say, if you Google image Jim Boylan, the pictures you get don't portray a happy-go-lucky man.
Yeah.
The very first image of Jim Boylan that I got was pretty intense. Well, I mean, what does it matter, really? Does it matter? I feel like if I was an owner, I would just want... I definitely don't want a coach to cause these issues.
Yeah.
But I kind of just want a coach to be like, hey, just be cool. Rest of the year. Let's
just be chill. We're tanking, baby. It's Tank City. We're going to make you guys better as players. We're going to do development. You know, that's the idea.
But
that's not what's happening here because Jim Boylan wants to prove he can be a tough coach. And so he...
Well, now I will say that's putting him in a tough position because
it's
his first head coaching job and you're asking him to tank. So he's going to start his head coaching career in the NBA with a really bad win-loss record.
Yeah.
And people do pay attention to this. Like, people thought Lenny Wilkins was a great coach because of his general winning record over the years or whatever.
Yeah.
So if a guy gets his first shot in the league and you're like, cool, can you go 2-40 the rest of the way or whatever? And
yeah.
So, I mean, they should have, like, promoted an internal, like, I'm sure he doesn't work there, but like the equivalent of like a Bernie Bickerstaff.
Yeah.
You know, just get some guy who'll just collect the check and write out the rest of the year.
Yes. It's a tough spot. It's a tough spot. And I think that, you know, he was a staff assistant in San Antonio. And so he was kind of like talking about how this is how we did it in San Antonio.
Yeah.
And some people on the team were like, we're not San Antonio and you're not Greg Popovich. So
yeah,
buzz the hell off.
But buddy. That's also probably what happens when you get somebody from that school. Like, you know, we know that the coaching trees where it's like Pop is the top of this like family tree.
Yeah.
That almost everybody that comes out of that family tree is a pretty intense coach.
Yes.
And believes in like a certain work ethic.
Yeah.
So Who's the general manager there
for
the Bulls? Like, who's making
Gar Pax? So it's a combination of Gar Foreman and John Paxson.
Right. So it continues to be the Gar Pax issue.
The Gar Pax issue, and yes. Everybody in Chicago is like, just fucking get rid of Gar Pax.
Right.
And
that's the real solution.
Yeah.
Because these are just bad decisions.
Yes.
And I mean, Gar Pax. I didn't like Gar Pax the first time when I saw it with Kevin Spacey.
Yeah.
Because I was like, is this dude an alien or not?
He eats bananas whole. I don't know what the problem is. That's the most obvious alien move in the entire world. He eats them banana peel and all. That's alien right there. And he's in a wheelchair, but then he's not in a wheelchair. It's like, we get it. Take your sunglasses off and eat regular fruit.
Exactly.
You didn't expect me to have that much K-Pax knowledge, did you?
I've never actually seen the movie. I've read the plot.
I saw K-Pax in the theaters, so take that.
Opening night.
What can I say? We were raised in a Spacey house.
Well, I love the name K-Pax. It's such a weird name for a movie.
It is.
We got Kyle Lowry slumping.
Yeah. Kyle Lowry has been in a bit of a mire recently. Played against the Bucks on Sunday on my birthday. And Kyle Lowry scored 0 points.
Yeesh.
Yeah, that's a hot yeesh right there.
That is
that's what the people call hot yeesh.
I'd say that's fewer points than you would want to score.
Yeah, I mean, he is somebody who should be able to affect the game in multiple ways. He didn't take a single free throw. He didn't take a single 2-point shot. He took 5 3-pointers and he missed all of them. And he was a +7 for the game. So, you know, I mean, the usual. But that being said, that's a weird It's a weird thing.
That
right?
actually sounds to me like a game worth watching to figure out why.
What's going on?
Because if I saw this box score, 0 for 5,
yeah,
7 assists, 5 rebounds, I would think, did he get injured? Like, yeah. You know, like that. Because a lot of times, who was it recently? I was looking at a box score. I was like, what? That was strange. And it's because they had, like, gone out of the game early. Like,
yeah.
And, like, the game when Booker got injured, like, his box
yeah.
or whatever.
Yes.
So, whenever you see, like, a star player on a team going 0 for 5, you're like, oh, did he only play, like, 12 minutes? But no, he played 33 minutes.
No, yeah. Like, his last 4 games, he scored 5, 7, 3, and 0 points. That's 15 points over 4 games. That's awful.
Let me look at what Fred Van Vliet's been doing in the meantime.
The Vliet.
Is he picking up the slack?
Vliet City.
Fred Van Vliet, who I enjoy, he's been 12, 2, 5, 8, and 19 last night.
So, yeah, 19, he was...
he went 5 for 7 from 3-point land last night.
Which is hot, hot, hot.
Yeah.
Not cold. Hot, hot, hot. Not cold.
But, no, I'm sure that they feel like if Lowry had contributed, they would have won that game.
Yeah, definitely. Because, you know, they're in this place where, you know, the Milwaukee Bucks are trying to push them for the top of the old standings there.
Right. And the thing that would worry me if I was, say, Casey Lawrence from June 2018 and very supportive of the Toronto Raptors.
Yes.
And I had projected myself to June 2019.
Okay. All right. Okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah. What does future me have to worry about?
I would worry about, does Kyle Lowry's mindset have something to do with not performing well in big situations?
Ooh.
Because if I don't know how many games they've played against each other.
I believe that is their second game so far.
And I think Toronto won the other one.
I believe they did.
But still, you want to make statements against your main rivals in the conference.
You want to make those statements.
And you certainly don't want your player sort of fading away.
No.
So, I don't know, Casey. We'll see.
Okay. I mean,
you were off the Raptors, like, you know, soon after that.
Yeah, I was just sad about it.
Right.
But, I mean, they're different because they have Kawhi now, but also they're the same because they have Kyle Lowry and everything.
But they're different
because
they have no LeBron in their conference either.
Yeah, that is also true. So. But they got Giannis, who is, so far, the MVP, in my hot opinion. I mean, I'm a Giannis stan. I will admit to that. But I think he's playing as well as he's ever played, and I think that their system is leading him to be the kind of player that you can solidly vote for MVP.
Yeah, I would say that if the year ends and the rank, like, the seeds are about this, I would say he's probably going to win.
Yeah.
I would say if Toronto pulls significantly away, that Kawhi's got a case.
Kawhi, no one's talking Kawhi. You know why? Because he's not playing every game. He's like sitting out every third or fourth game or something.
I just feel like he's putting up some pretty monster games, When he's in?
Yeah, and his defense is
and
just
if he leads
ridiculous.
Them to a number one seed. But, you know, the thing I would, argue against that is, like, for the Raptors to, like, excel in the regular season won't prove much to people.
Yeah. No, because they've done it before, and it's boring.
It would just be like, more like if they could get through. He'd have to do it for another year.
Yeah.
Yeah, because otherwise your choices are probably what? I mean, the Pelicans have kind of fallen off.
Yeah.
So because I would say Anthony Davis was like the main competitor.
Yeah. I mean, LeBron. LeBron is in the race.
Sure. Sure. If they, I mean, they're only two games out of the number one seed.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you could make that argument.
Yeah.
I mean, the argument that I would say for that is if they end up the number one, two seed in the West – the West is a harder conference. So yeah. If they like win one or two, and then you can say it just depends on kind of where your Lakers hate wants to settle. Everyone has it. So what I think will satisfy Lakers haters is if, especially if they love LeBron before,
yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Is what they can settle on is LeBron should be the MVP because Brandon Ingram, Kyle Kuzma, Josh Hart, and Lonzo are actually way worse than anyone thinks they are.
Okay, yeah,
they
yeah.
fucking suck, and LeBron carried them to the number two seed in the West. I think that's a very
that's a Laker hater life, yeah.
Reddit viewpoint
yeah.
of the Lakers at the end of the year.
This is why the normal advice in the world is just don't ever go to Reddit.
Yeah, yeah. But I have to do it from all my banking.
Yeah, that's fair.
I actually did spend about 8 or 9 minutes today watching Lonzo Ball transition passes.
How have they looked?
Oh, they're great. And I think we talked about Harden's skip passes.
Yes.
We talked about Jokic's hook passes.
Ooh-wee.
People like these guys, and I would include Lonzo in that. Lonzo in a transition context.
Okay.
Will make passes that you're like, oh, I didn't even see that as a possibility.
Yeah.
So I find that to be very enjoyable to watch somebody's brain work in a way that's like, oh, I have a better view of the court than he does because I'm in a camera flying above the court.
Yeah.
And I did not see that.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of that. There's a lot of fun. There's also a lot of fun, like touch passes. And you remember in the summer league when he punched that ball?
Yes. God, those are so fun.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it makes you think of like Jason Williams doing the elbow pass.
Elbow pass. Loved it.
So good.
Rookie sophomore game against Lamar Odom.
Oh. Yeah.
And now I have a very serious topic that you have written down.
I mean, this is something I am incredibly, I tweeted about this, and I need to
and
get
we all
my opinion
know
out.
That if you tweet about something, it's very serious.
Oh boy.
This is, which NBA player should host the Oscars?
That's right.
Because they just fired, or one NBA player just stepped down, Kevin Hart.
Kevin Hart.
By that, I mean he's in the celebrity game.
And Kevin Hart is so integral to NBA All-Star Weekend. It like doesn't the NBA have to kind of step back a little bit now and be
maybe.
Like,
I mean, Kevin Hart, I'm fine with Kevin Hart having a seat. Because I actually was not following this at all until he stepped down. And then I sort of backtracked and read articles. And
yeah.
the main reason I don't have any problem with Kevin Hart sort of going away for a little bit is if you just Google the sheer number of tweets he has about gay people.
Yeah.
It's not like here's two jokes I wrote a long time ago. It's like a solid like 15 to 20 tweets.
Yeah. There's like a lot of them. And, you know, mostly just like I think all anybody wanted was for him to be like, man, I'm sorry. That was dumb.
Yeah.
And like, I shouldn't have said that. Like, because
which he kind of got to, but too late.
Too late. Because at first he was like, no, I'm, you know, you guys are dumb for, it was so weirdly defensive. Like, I don't understand. Like, are people so proud that they can't admit when they have offended people? I mean, the answer is yes. It's obvious that's what people feel. And
so this isn't basketball related, but the evil like truth about Donald Trump is that there is power in not apologizing.
Yeah.
So there's a certain amount of like pop cultural cachet that you preserve by not apologizing because you will get you will alienate a lot of people.
Yeah.
But really anyone at a public level is alienating people no matter what they do.
Yeah.
So sometimes, and we've probably been on the other side with like progressive people.
Yeah.
Not wanting, like, honestly, to be like, I didn't want Kathy Griffin to apologize for her photo with the Trump mask.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, it's clearly, it's no matter what it is, it's just a photo. Like, I don't care. So I didn't want her to apologize, but she did. And so, and I totally understood why.
Yeah.
But so, like, you know, she could have, there was a thought there to like double down and just be like, fuck you all. And that's what Kevin Hart kind of tried to do.
Yeah.
And then it didn't work really.
Yeah.
And then he quit, and then he really apologized, which was fine. And it was just a little bit late.
Yeah.
So we're probably not going to have him at All-Star Weekend.
I mean, we say that now. He's going to be there. He's definitely going to be there.
I mean, also, another point in the case of things make no difference is, for some reason today on Twitter, the one of the hashtags was King of R&B. Lots of people discussing who the current King of R&B is.
Okay.
And do you know who, like, a huge number of people said was?
R. Kelly?
No.
No?
Chris Brown.
Chris Brown.
So, like, people don't give a shit. They're just like, oh, he's like, he beats women. Oh, cool. Well, he's the, also, the most salient point I read about that was, if our choices are Chris Brown and R. Kelly, we can wait to crown who the King of R&B is. Let's wait until we have a better...
Hold on to the crown a little bit.
Let's have a, wait until we have a better contender.
Did I ever tell you I saw Chris Brown at the Dave & Buster's on Hollywood Boulevard?
No.
It was wild.
I did not know that there was a Dave & Buster's on Hollywood
Boulevard. Oh, there is.
Which, far west or far east?
Like at the like Chinese theater area.
Oh. Yeah. One of the best parts of Los Angeles. If you're coming to Los Angeles, you've got to go to Hollywood Boulevard.
Oh, boy.
You've got to find all the stars. You've got to put your hands in all of the prints.
I mean, I've done it.
That is a part of Los Angeles that everyone who lives here, and it's such a small little chunk that I think if it just got airlifted to, like, Whittier,
oh, man.
Everybody would be like, cool.
Great.
Can we have, like, just like regular restaurants and stuff in there now?
Can we just finally get like a parking lot that's not a piece of shit?
So we got Kevin Hart's not gonna host the Oscars.
Correct.
And what now, why do you think it needs to be an NBA player?
I'm not saying it needs to be an NBA player, like in reality, but I do think that there's one man who's just specifically suited for the job. And I tweeted about this. I think it's the job of the nicest man in the NBA, truly the biggest sweetheart, Pau Gasol. I think Pau Gasol should host the Oscar. Pau Gasol is self-deprecating enough. I think he's like goofy enough. I think Pau Gasol could pull off a musical number to introduce the Oscars. Yeah. He is friends with Pavarotti, or who's the blind?
That's pronounced Pavarotti.
Who's the blind guy from
Andrea Bocelli?
He's friends with Andrea Bocelli. Okay, he's a guy who. Everybody loves Pau Gasol, and you put him in a suit and he looks good. And I think that, like, he's not playing right now because he's injured. He could be spending that time prepping for the Oscars.
Prepping. He could be learning monologue jokes.
Yes. Yeah.
Last time with Jeff Tate, we were talking about how Joel Embiid knows that it's just a game.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's a certain, it's good for people to sort of build a life that's not all basketball.
Yes.
I think Powell's going to come out with a pretty good life.
Yeah.
Probably Mark, too.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But Powell's going to have two rings.
Two rings.
And, like, no major scandals.
Yeah.
Decently liked by lots of people, except for Chris Paul.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and even Powell's like, why don't you, what are you doing? That's a Chris Paul thing. That's not a Powell thing.
No, Powell's just like, Powell was like, this is me being friendly to you.
Yeah.
And you happen to be 18 inches shorter than me. Yeah. So that's just what happens when I...
Sorry, bud.
But like, Powell... And also isn't experiencing like some precipitous decline in his career. It's just kind of like...
He's just like slowly tailing off.
Yeah. Like maybe him and Dirk will just have nice lives.
Oh, man. You know, Dirk would also be a great host.
Yeah, Dirk would be great.
Okay, all right. But of course, all the veterans we love would be good. But who is a young player... who we would think would be really good at hosting.
Well, my question is, who's someone that actually would be hired to do this? Because Powell's not genuinely going to hire.
No.
But like LeBron would.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right. But yeah. LeBron's not going to do it.
He's not. No, he's right in the middle of the NBA season.
I could see a year after LeBron retires,
yeah,
him doing it.
Yeah.
Because he's already pushing into the production company world.
Yes.
So, God, it's weird now to hear LeBron's name on, like, this game show hosted by Chris Hardwick was produced by LeBron James.
Yes, it was, yeah.
Like, there was something else. I think, is he producing a video game?
Yes.
His name was on something, and I was like, whoa, that's so weird.
He's producing video games and movies and TV shows.
So LeBron would be the number one get.
Okay, yeah. I also, like, just because he's recognizable for sure, I think that there are other people who could be, you know, like that personality that's going to be like, we're having a great time here at the Oscars. Like, who's that guy? I don't know. I'm trying to think. Like, do you think like we could get Draymond to do it? Do you think Draymond would?
Actually, Draymond would be great.
I kind of think so.
JaVale McGee would be great.
Oh. JaVale, he's natural in front of the camera.
I still think that in the long term, I think Giannis is going to have a media career.
I don't. I think he doesn't want it.
I think he will.
I don't think so. I know he has all he has ever.
Well, he hasn't heard my pitch yet.
Okay.
So, I don't have one, but.
All right. We're pitching Giannis.
So there's Giannis. I think Joel Embiid will try to have a media career.
Yeah.
I don't know if he will.
Yeah. I don't know either.
But he might.
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, LeBron is the right choice, but I think if we were going with somebody younger, maybe
CJ McCollum,
yeah,
he's media ready.
he certainly is.
Wait, I want to look up the for NBA first. The all NBA teams is what I want.
Oh, okay.
Because I was just thinking actually. Our top players in the league, how many of them have genuine charisma?
Yeah.
That sort of transcends the sport.
Yeah. Steph Curry's that kind of guy.
Oh, I mean, Steph Curry would be a great host.
Yeah.
I wonder how seriously he takes, I wonder how truly religious he is.
Yeah.
Does it extend to the point that he doesn't really want to associate with Hollywood?
Yeah, maybe.
Hollywood deviants.
I mean, he was the first NBA player to sign with Express, so he's got his fingertips in something.
Okay, here's your first team All NBA last year.
Great.
Tell me which of these players you think has charisma.
Okay,
LeBron.
Yes.
Kevin Durant.
No.
Anthony Davis.
No. I watched a prank video that he did last year where he pretended to shave off his unibrow.
Yes.
It was stilted.
How do they do that? Makeup?
Yes.
Not.
Why not just shave the fucking thing off?
Yeah. James Harden.
No. Have you seen him in those?
He's very
those,
wooden in commercials.
Oh my God.
Damian Lillard?
Yes. Damian Lillard can host. Damian Lillard can rap. Damian Lillard's got personality.
Okay. He reminds me, I think I've said this, he reminds me of Marlo from The Wire.
Okay.
Do you know The Wire?
Jamie Hector, baby.
Yeah. Marlo is like a cold-blooded dude, and that's what Damian Lillard runs.
Yeah, I think
as a compliment.
Yeah, yeah, and I feel like Damian's probably got a little more personality than Marlo, just because Marlo was like, he was cold-blooded in a way that it felt like he was staring past you, yes. And I don't think that that's what Damian Lillard does.
Well, he looked at you as if he was looking at your gravestone already.
Yeah, yeah.
Second team, All-NBA.
Okay.
LaMarcus Aldridge.
No.
Giannis.
Maybe.
He has charisma, but not in the way that I'm asking.
No.
Joel Embiid.
Yes.
DeMar DeRozan.
No.
Russell Westbrook.
No.
Not for a host.
No. Like, Russell Westbrook, I don't know. I mean, there's like, what if he was just mad about everything? What if the Oscars were just an angry presentation?
Russell Westbrook has the charisma of a, like, we got 12 fat people, and this is the drill sergeant that's going to yell at them on this reality TV
show. All right. Major Pain 2 starring Russell Westbrook.
Full Metal Jacket with Russell Westbrook as Arlie Ermey. Third team All-NBA.
Okay.
Paul George.
No. I'm going to say no on Paul George.
Jimmy Butler.
I'm going to say yes on Jimmy Butler, but in a like...
Until this last kerfuffle.
Well, I mean...
And he can recover it.
I think he can, and I think he'd be good because if the Oscars were going poorly, like if the planning was going poorly, he'd yell at everybody until it was good. And that's the way the theater works.
Yeah, that's exactly. You berate... Well, yeah. Actually... Now I think about it, it does work like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't lying.
Yeah. Carl Anthony Towns.
No.
Stephen Curry.
Yes.
I didn't know that this man was all NBA last year.
Yes, he was.
Victor Oladipo.
That's right, third team.
Congrats.
Victor Oladipo, true lover of the theater.
Is he really?
Yes, he is. Yeah.
What were you just saying about Jimmy Butler?
I think that Jimmy Butler would yell at everyone to make sure the show was good.
Yes, he would. Yeah. Stephen Curry, I think, actually does have a lot of charisma.
Yeah, I think so, too. And just, like, people like him. People want to like him. People like his family. Like, imagine if Riley Curry hosted.
Well, I'll tell you the degree to which I like Stephen Curry is I keep wanting to find shoes of his that I want to buy. And
this
I keep failing. I mean, I keep looking them up. I keep going like, what's the new Under Armour?
When is Under Armour going to learn how to make a shoe that doesn't look like a garbage?
So, pile? But I keep, the point is I keep looking at them.
Yeah, that's fair.
And they haven't been good yet.
And they're not going to be good anytime soon.
They haven't looked good yet, but, a friend of mine, her husband worked, I believe still works for Nike.
Okay.
And you are not allowed to wear any other brand to campus.
No, God, why? No, not at all.
But they also ran into coworkers off campus, like just in real life, and she was wearing like an Under Armour thing. And,
no.
It was slightly scandalous.
That's some drama right there.
Yeah. So
That'd be like if I wore a Ringer t-shirt to this podcast taping.
Yeah, that would be the end, I guess. I shot a commercial with for Nike at one point, and they sent us a thing saying, don't wear anything but Nike to the set, which I totally understand, but I also feel is a little bit like fragile of ego for like the biggest sportswear company in the world.
Yeah.
Apparently, the Under Armour is their main threat these days.
Yes.
They're not worried about Adidas or anybody else. They're not worried about your Reeboks or your...
No,
K-Swiss.
They're not worried about my huge Puma collection?
No, they are not.
Damn.
So, yeah, I guess we've settled on, we'd love to have LeBron host the Oscars.
Yeah.
And he probably will one day.
Yeah.
I guess Charles Barkley's too controversial to do it.
I mean, and he would be a mess. He doesn't know anybody's name in the NBA. Whose name is he going to know in Hollywood?
Yeah. Yeah, I guess so.
I mean, I only have positive things to say about Richard Jefferson's hosting acumen from my run-in with him at a test of a game show. But, you know, he's not a current NBA player. So.
Well, we get Richard Jefferson and Channing Frye.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like anybody you get who's, you know, you get Nick Young and JaVale McGee to co-host the Oscars.
Mm.
One's more Anne Hathaway, one's more James Franco, you know? Mm.
Yeah, that worked out great. So let's see, where are we at? Oh, we're at 48 minutes.
Hey, check us out.
I don't know. Like, I still am in that mode of like wanting to just fast forward past Christmas.
Fast forward to Christmas, okay? I want to open my presents on Christmas Day of watching NBA basketball.
I think if I can, I'm going to go watch that Toronto-Milwaukee game.
Yeah.
I'm very curious about. I was thinking recently, maybe because
it was
a
good game too. It was close all night.
Yeah, I will just reiterate that this season has been very good for the just watch a random game and see if it's good.
Yeah,
there's been a lot of like, I have just sat down at my NBA League Pass, put a game on, and then have it turn out to be like, this is the best game of the year.
Yeah.
So several games that I've seen have been very exciting.
Oh yeah.
But now, I would like you to reach behind you. See where it says, be a threat?
Yeah.
Can you grab that little plastic piece up there?
Oh, yeah.
I think I mentioned this last time. I have purchased, other way around, I think. Oh, no, you're right the first time. I can't remember what this is called. It's whatever's on that box. For our three-point challenge, Casey's putting it on now. I'm just going to describe what he's doing. He's got a Sort of a like a, imagine like a boomerang made out of black plastic.
And when I bend my fingers, the boomerang doesn't move.
Right. So it's designed to put your middle index and ring finger into, to artificially spread them apart so that when you leave this on while you shoot a basketball.
And so like you're saying that when I shoot...
You normally shoot, your fingers are too close together, according to this company. So that's the distance they should be when you hold the ball and shoot them. I got two of them.
Wow. Okay. All right. Yeah. So one from my left hand and one from my right hand. Yeah, I'm dribbling.
Because you shoot both hands.
Yeah, of course.
And you also shoot three-pointers with both hands.
Yes, that's the only way to do it.
Yeah. So I thought it'd be fun for us to try like a three-point challenge at some point and then also put these on.
Yeah. I'm very into this. This is the weirdest thing I've ever put
on. Well, also, is it spreading your fingers wider than you would when you shoot a ball? Like if you imagine...
I mean, I got to hold a ball, but like yeah. I'm thinking like I don't put them together, but yeah, I think it is a little wider than I would normally do it. Mostly just it feels weird to have something on my fingers because like I don't know where rings or anything.
So this has little imagine like a zip tie.
Yeah.
But like a little knurled, like little balls of like plastic so that the zip ties keep your fingers in the holes, but I believe they're textured in a way to allow you to maintain contact with the ball as you shoot.
Yeah. So I mean like I think I've got them a little too low, maybe.
Yes.
Yeah.
And you might also, we can adjust how wide those things go.
Whoa.
And the other thing it does is theoretically keeps your palm, base of your palm off of the ball.
Yeah. And that's supposed to stay off.
Yeah. Which I'm pretty sure I do. I'm pretty sure I do have that.
Yeah. When I'm shooting three pointers with both hands, you know, it all goes out the window.
Well, I don't know if these are going to work when I shoot my three pointers granny style, the way I did when I was a kid.
Yeah.
But, and also I was very accurate granny style.
Hey, I mean, everybody is.
What happened to that Houston Rockets player that was shooting free throws granny style?
Chinwendu Onwuaku.
Is he still in the league?
I believe he is not.
Oh, I wanted to know if he was still shooting that way.
Yeah, I don't know. I'd have to check.
So, I'm going to Houston for a week, you know, just to give James and CP3 a pep talk.
Yep.
And then, so at some point, by the way, are you in town Christmas?
Oh yeah.
Okay. So we'll find some time.
What are you doing on Christmas? You want to watch some NBA games?
Yeah. Well, this is what I love. Actually, we might be in Palm Springs again, because basically like now in Palm Springs, I always check to see if like a week like Christmas, there's Palm Springs that where all the prices go down
because
like they're like no one's booking for Christmas, so sometimes they have like crazy cheap rooms.
Yeah, definitely.
But what I do love about the holidays is like when I get back from Houston, that'll be December 18th, and then really from the 18th to New Year's, like no one does anything.
Yeah,
like people with jobs like start really checking out of their jobs mentally. Yeah. And so I think there will be a good time to find time to like do our 3-point challenge.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, the nice thing is that you get back the 18th and I got, big shows on the 20th and the 21st.
Very good. What do you got?
My band, Mighty Knight, is hosting a concert on the 20th.
Ooh.
At the Moving Arts Theater in Silver Lake.
Yeah. I was there just last night.
For
a show called Saucebox.
Ooh, yeah. Yes. I've played Saucebox before. Yes. Yeah. In fact, the Moving Arts Theater is where Chris and I met.
That's right.
That was the first time we had a musical improv show.
Was it Kaboom Box?
No, it was Adele Dazeem.
Adele Dazeem.
Yeah.
That's right.
And then the next night, we are playing a house party.
Ooh.
So we on the 21st, if you guys want to party for Christmas, come through, send me a note, and I'll get you an invite to this very swanky house party in
Rule
Hollywood.
Of Threes podcast. That's the number 3, Rule of Threes podcast, at gmail.com.
That's right.
So this is a house party that you're allowed to invite people to?
Yes.
That's unusual.
Yeah, no, I know, right? I can invite anybody I want because I'm playing as a band. It's a concert house party. It's weird. I've never done it before.
Cool. Well, house concerts are very... Well, here's the thing. Is it a party and you're like a party band? Is it a concert?
It's both. It's like we're going to play, then there's going to be more party.
Okay, cool.
Because,
a house concert is like a...
It's a thing.
It's a thing that has, in the last 5-10 years, has become like a pretty viable income stream for musicians.
Yeah.
To where like you can get house concerts from like, you know, bands just starting out like Mighty Knight.
Yeah.
All the way up to, you know, your... Tom Petty's.
Yeah, we're going to be playing with Megan Blanchard, who's the lead singer of Stalker Kitty.
Ooh, cool.
They are LA folk rock, and we're kind of a folky indie duo as well. So
very cool.
Some fun music.
What comedy shows do you have coming up this week?
This week, Friday night, Bitchcoin is playing at The Usual with The Usual. So that's Friday night at 9:30 at the Moving Arts Theater.
Cool.
And I think
you live at the Moving Arts Theater.
I do kind of live at the Moving Arts Theater. And we'll see if I can put together a show for this Thursday at 8. I haven't yet booked the teams that I need to. So,
oh boy.
Yeah, we'll see. People sometimes say yes. People sometimes say no.
The side effect of people sort of checking out around this time of year is it's also very hard to book things.
Yes, it is.
It's hard to, like, a lot of people are out of town.
Yeah.
A lot of teams will be like, we only have two of our members available.
Yeah. So you just get up there and go wild.
Yeah. So I'll be in Houston. Oh, actually, Houston Saturday night at the Station Theater. I believe I'm doing some kind of like maybe Craigslist related improv.
Oh, fun.
What's it called? Misconnections?
I mean, you are asking me.
No, no. I mean, on Craigslist, there's a thing called Misconnections.
Yes, there is.
I believe I am doing something based on that.
Oh, fun.
And I'm speaking slowly in a way.
Because it is giving you time to look it up.
To look at the schedule of a improv theater that has not published their schedule for this coming week.
Yeah.
Cool. Oh, there it goes. Saturday, 9:30, Missed Connections.
Great.
So I think that's what I'm doing.
You're just dropping in with a team? And
I believe what it is, I think I'm doing a two-person set with that's based on a Missed Connections ad. I think that's what that show
that's
is.
That's fun.
So cool. And then we'll see you next week. Please send Casey an email so you can get onto this rockin' house party.
Swanky guest list, baby.
Yeah. And other than that, we'll see you next time. Bye.